Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask your blessings on this meeting today, that everybody will understand what we're saying, what we're sharing. They'll have eyes to see and ears to hear. In Jesus' name, thank you so much, Father. Amen. Okay, we're going to study the faith path in action. And I'm going to share with you about Christ manifesting us first. And I'm going to share with you a bunch of verses so you'll see how Jesus is coming in this body. And Christ will manifest his life and ministry in us. Okay? 2 Thessalonians 1, 10 through 12, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. So he's looking at a day ahead, and I say he's talking about these days, because this is when great revelation is being revealed concerning this. So, we're still coming out of the dark ages, but God will reveal the greater works in our day. And continuing with verse 11, to which end we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power. That sounds great, doesn't it? Do we have a desire for goodness? Well, hold on to it. Okay, verse 12. That the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. Name means nature, character, and authority. May be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's God's plan, okay? One of my favorites, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, but we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So we have to see the end from the beginning. We have to call the things that be not as though they were, and we have to believe we have received Jesus. Colossians 3 and 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, that means in the physical realm, in us, then shall you also with him be manifested in glory. There it is, the proof of what I said. Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I am again in travail until Christ be formed in you. So they went back under the law, and they lost this. And now he wants it back, right? Colossians 1, 27 and 28, to whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the only hope of glory, is Christ in you. Some people think religion in you will be enough. No, it won't. Whom we proclaim, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Some people don't like that word, but it's a good word. 2 Corinthians 4, 10 and 11. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested, that means in this realm, right, in our body. The life of Jesus manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That's the crucified life. That the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. That's very important that you understand that, because so many deny that. Mortal flesh, not immortal flesh, not the new body, this body. Ephesians 3. 14 through 19. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man. right. So that's a good prayer. We need to pray that. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. There it is. Not the modern day Christ, but original Christ, right? To the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. This last phrase here helps you to understand that the breadth and length and height and depth is all of Christ. Apprehend, it uses the word. Apprehend, okay? Not comprehend. We'll look at that later. Ephesians 4:11-15 says, "And he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints." There's that word again. Okay, God uses it, we can use it. Okay, some people say, "You believe in perfection?" I believe what the Bible says, right? "For the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Well, there it is again. Some don't believe that. Well, they can't have it unless they believe it. It's "be it unto you according to your faith," right? Verse 14, "that we may be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error." There's plenty of that out there. "But speaking truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ." Well, there you go. Maturity is having Christ manifest in you. We'll talk more about manifest, but it means basically, in this case, it says in you, and that is Christ manifest in you. That means in this physical realm. Okay, 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, my little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested," that's what the original says, if he, not when, because it's not talking about a rapture, okay, "if he shall be manifested." And the three most ancient manuscripts of the New Testament, the Nestles, the ASV, the RV, the Numeric New Testament, agree to this translation. "If he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Now, this clearly means that if he shall be manifested in us, we won't be ashamed when we see him, right? 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we children of God, and it's not yet made manifest what we shall be, but we know that if he shall be manifested," again, that "if" word is in there, and this means manifested in us, 2 Corinthians 4:10-11, and the three most ancient manuscripts of the New Testament, and the Nestles text, and the Received text, and the ASV, and the RV, and the Numeric New Testament agree on this translation. We shall be like him. Wow. We shall be like him. If he shall be manifested, that means we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. We have to set our sights high, not lower the bar like religion does, right? So notice that we must see the real Jesus to be like him. The apostate's Jesus is nothing like him, and so they do not walk as he walked, right? 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit." So this verse shows us that if we see him as he is, in the mirror, by faith, then we will manifest his glory. And according to quantum physics or mechanics, we must see what we want and believe we have received it in order to have it. And Jesus said, do this in every prayer, Mark 11 and 24, right? Believe you have received. Christ exchanged his life for ours at the cross. Colossians 1, 22 and 23 says, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish, unreprovable before him. If so be that you continue in the faith, you must endure in the faith to the end, that Christ is yours, exchange has been made, which is what reconciled means. The exchange has been made, his life is now your life, and your old life is nailed on that cross. Grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, that's the condition, which you heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven. So that's why we must see him in the mirror by faith in order to manifest him. And Galatians 2 and 20, good confession here. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me, a confession of faith. Okay? It's no longer I that live, Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So this kind of faith is accounted as righteousness until righteousness is manifested in bearing fruit. And it is the fruit of Christ, not other people. So he who sees his natural face in the mirror, the Bible says, will be a hearer but not a doer, because they will not have power to obey. That's James 1 and 23. And Colossians 3 and 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, that's in us, the same as above, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. Now notice that the life of Christ is his glory, and it is manifested in our mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians 4:11. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, so that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So they are without excuse to say, well, we leave here and we get perfected in heaven. No, you bear fruit here. All the plants have to be planted in the dirt. And that's where they bear fruit. Well, notice that mortal flesh on the earth, not glorified bodies. The false prophet has told us that we have to settle for being forgiven sinners in this life instead of overcoming sons of God. For many deceivers are gone forth into the world, even they that confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. So this means in the true believer's flesh, right? 2 John 7. So, note. Is come or has come in the flesh has no foundation in the ancient manuscripts. The received text or the Nestle's text or numerics. Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:18 and 19 that they may be strong to apprehend, not comprehend, as the King James says. Wrong. Strong to apprehend the ancient manuscripts, agree with this. The received text, Nestle's text, and the numerics agree. The breadth and length and height and depth of Christ, of course, and be filled with all the fullness of God. So this is God's promise. He's making sons of God, not sons of men. You've already become a son of man through Adam. But you can only become a son of God through the last Adam, Jesus Christ. He's the father of the born-again creation. And he means born again, not shaking a preacher's hand or accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. He means born again. And according to Paul in Ephesians 4:11 through 15, the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints. And a little further, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow. Through faith in the promises, we cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. You can pick up a lot of that in churches. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's 2 Corinthians 7:1. Perfecting holiness. 2 Thessalonians 1:10-12 says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all them that believe, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. So he's looking down the road towards a time when people get these revelations and believe him. Okay. 11. To which end we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power. That the name of our Lord Jesus, that's nature, character, and authority, of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's not according to our abilities, it's according to the grace of our God. Can he do it? Well, yes, he can. Okay. So be diligent in this faith and until he comes, and you will bear the fruit of his works and have great reward. So most of you know, but I want to briefly explain the manifest in these texts means to appear in the physical realm. When we come to Christ, we accept all of his benefits by faith. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence is not yet seen, right? And we do that until the sacrifice is manifested in our lives as fruit, the fruit of Christ. And according to the parable of the sower, the seed is sown in the heart, but only one out of four is good ground and brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. The fruit here is Christ, not other souls, the fruit of the Spirit. He is the seed, sperma, the Greek word is, of the Word, and each seed brings forth after its own kind, not another Jesus. What is happening in you is the Jesus is coming to be manifested in you. Romans 8:24-25. For in hope, which in Greek means a firm expectation, were we saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopeth for that which he seeth? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Yes, we are. We're patiently awaiting this fullness. And in other words, we wait for the full manifestation of our salvation. And what does it look like? Jesus in the mirror. And when we come to Christ, we receive a new spirit, but our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, needs transforming. And that happens as we follow that spirit while it follows the Holy Spirit. Romans 12:2. Be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can you be in the perfect will of God? It says so. By faith we say with Paul, Galatians 2:20, I'll say it again, I have been crucified with Christ. That means your old man's gone. And it's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So as we make this confession of our faith, it will be continually manifested in us, for we are justified by faith. That means we are accounted righteous by that faith. And the Holy Spirit gives power to those who believe. If we don't repent and believe the word, we cannot have what it says. As long as we are walking by faith in the Word, we are acceptable to God, for faith is accounted as righteousness, as the Bible says. And Jesus told his disciples in Luke 6 and 40, the disciple is not above his teacher, but every one, when he is perfected, oh, there it is again, shall be as his teacher. Christ wants to live and be seen or manifested in us. That's what he wants. And as we repent, when we see the word, we permit this to happen. We give good ground to the seed and bear his fruit. And Luke 9:23 and 24 says, and he said unto all, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And 2 Peter 1:19 says, and we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a lamp shining in a dark place. He's talking about the dark place of the soul. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So this is the manifested glory of Christ. And 2 Peter 1:9-11 says, for he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. Were your old sins taken away? Of course they were. Okay, do you believe that they're still there? Well, then you don't believe they were taken away. 10. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Woohoo! Hallelujah! James 1:23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. Not Jesus' face. People do that. They look in the mirror and they see their natural face and woe is me and there's that pimple and so on and so forth. But if we don't see Jesus in the mirror, then that is not faith. And we will not be a doer of the word. A doer of the word is manifesting Christ. So I received an objection to a letter I sent out one time, Christ in You, from a brother, and I'm using the word perfection as the Greek word implies, to be mature or full grown. And here's the objection. Dave, are you suggesting that the word teaches perfection can be attained in this life? What did I just read? Your quote, he says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, 2 Corinthians 7:1, would seem to indicate strongly that it is an ongoing process known in scriptures as sanctification. Yes. Not accomplished in this life. No. That's not what we just got through reading. Paul said, not as if I had already attained. He's not saying he manifested it at that time, but he was stretching forward, right? Paul continues that he is still pursuing that higher life which is found in Christ, who is in us. We just saw that. And 1 John says that if we say we sin not, we lie. That's if we sin, and we say we sin not, we lie. We must be careful to differentiate between the goal we strive for, he says, as close to the life of Jesus as possible, and claiming sinless perfection. So try as you may, and believe as much as you wish, does not erase the old man. We must constantly fight against, he says. That fight is by faith, of course, in Christ. So here's my answer to, you know, his comments. I hope you will read this carefully because, as you can see, it is the Word of God. We can't reject any scripture and still say we have the truth. We cannot pick the verses we like in order to justify our religion. The sum of thy words is truth. The whole verse says this, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This is not talking to somebody who's in the new body and doesn't have a problem with sin. Okay? 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. All we have to do is to believe that what it says without invoking the curse for adding to the word. And we are commanded here to use the word of God to separate from worldly thinking and actions. Look at what the following scriptures say. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 8. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. He's telling you how to arrive at sanctification, right? That you abstain from fornication, that each one of you know how to possess himself of his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust, even as the Gentiles who know not God, that no man transgress and wrong his brother in the matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all of these things, as also we forewarned you and testified. For God called us not for uncleanness, but in sanctification. Okay, so here's where we have to get our sanctification, right? It's all over when you leave this life. 8, therefore, he that rejecteth not man, but God, who giveth his Holy Spirit unto you. So how can sanctification not be attainable in this life when Scripture says in Hebrews 12, 14, and 15, follow after peace with all men and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. So you have to have your sanctification before you can see the Lord. So looking carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God. Well, holiness and sanctification are the same Greek word. A person who does not believe it is attainable cannot receive it because we receive it by faith. 2 Corinthians 4:11, for we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, so that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. In Ephesians 3:18-20, that we may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, in other words, all of Christ, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Notice, you think God can't do this? You say men can't do this? Well, I agree. But do you think God can't do this? It says, to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's not us, that's him. Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How can you twist that? That we may be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error. That's where all this garbage teaching has come from, right? But speaking truth in love may grow up in all things into him, in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. In Colossians 1 and 22 and 23, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him, if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein also you stand, and by which also you are saved. Actually, it says, are being saved. All right. If you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except you believed in vain. There are many people who believe in vain because they're not basing it on the true gospel. We're justified by faith in the sanctification given us at the cross. And that faith continually brings us into manifest sanctification. Faith is accounted as righteousness until righteousness is manifested in us. In other words, come to pass in this life, right? And in this way, a person can continue under the grace of God as he bears fruit. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world, 1 John 5:4. And faith is calling the things that are not as though they were. You're saying it's done. It's done. It was done at the cross. Romans 4:17. And that's until they come to pass. We continue to believe and confess him until it comes to pass. We must be seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, whereby he's granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. His plan is for us to escape lust here. That's 2 Peter 1:34. Christ made you free from sin, quote unquote, Romans 6:18-22. So why should you live any longer therein? Verse 22. For you were delivered out of the power of darkness. Colossians 1:13. So reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. And let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Oh no. Yes. Can you read? Let not sin therefore. Why? Because you have faith to believe. Let it not reign in your mortal body that you should obey the lusts thereof. Romans 6:11-12. If you live after the flesh, you must die. Some people say you don't have any choice. Well, they're not paying attention. If you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit, that's God's power, you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Romans 8:13-14. So, believe God's promises and escape the lusts of the flesh. Clearly, it's what we're being seen here. And having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. 1 John 2:1-6. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Don't say you can't keep his commandments. You're not a believer if you believe that. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. That's what we're here to do. Walk as Jesus walked. So the religions of this day have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, which is a license to do what you want to do. And as we can see from the verses, grace delivers us from sin, not just covers it up. The blood covers our ignorance until we see the light. James 4 and 17 says, to him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Hebrews 10, 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain, fearful expectation of judgment, and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. So, some sins are done in ignorance and are therefore not willful. And these are covered by the blood. And for the other sins, we will obviously get chastening until we hopefully repent. Romans 5 and 13 says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So you may have sinned a sin of ignorance. In other words, not knowing the law. But under grace, God does not reckon it as sin. And that's why we cannot say we have no sin. 1 John 1 and 8. We are ignorant of many things that are against his perfect will. And when we get light, then we are responsible. We don't want to sin willfully because there's no sacrifice for sin, the Bible says. You have to take the punishment then. When does the blood not just cover but wash away the very nature of sin? 1 John 1, 5 through 7. And this is the message which we have heard from him and announce unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Abide in him. That's the answer, right? And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And this is why the gospel is the good news. Now we don't have to be content with forgiveness, because Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away, not just covers up, the sins of the world. Many of God's people are still living with Old Testament benefits because they don't believe the gospel. He taketh away, right? So I hope that this answer benefits you as it did him, and in Jesus' name. Okay, we're going to call this One with Jesus, Anonymous, 6:22-23. Last night I tried going to sleep, but God wouldn't let me until I wrote this down, and I asked God if he really wants me to write it down to have some dogs bark, which I don't hear often. And as soon as I thought this in my mind, multiple dogs started barking. And after I wrote it down on my phone, I instantly fell asleep. Praise God. So she couldn't sleep until she wrote it down, right? And when I had this experience, everything I wrote, I felt and saw as if it had fully manifested, and it was so real and alive and true, and I desire that I could have stayed in this experience. It was maybe like 10 to 30 seconds of seeing and feeling all of this, and it was so real, and I am so excited for us all to have this connection with God every moment, no matter what is going on, and to have his holy connection with each other and being one together without spot or blemish. I was praying in tongues, and I saw that very soon we are all going to be so connected to God We already are by faith, but it will physically manifest. Be so connected to God that we hear his voice extremely clear every moment. My sheep hear my voice, he said. Don't say, no, you can't hear the voice of God. You're crazy if you do. Okay, so, and we know it is him without doubt and unbelief, that we will constantly be speaking to him back and forth more than we speak to any human. When awake and asleep, our soul will be communing with him just as the Holy Spirit does. That the flesh will be so suppressed and submissive to the Holy Spirit, and we will be so in tune with God, we know and obey what he wants with extreme joy in every moment, without complaint and without the flesh trying to stop us. We will have such boldness to have him speak through us with no fear of man or fear of rejection. And she says, these things that try to hinder us from being and living as Jesus won't even try to hinder us anymore. That we will know 100% that he is in us and all around us, and we are one with him. Him literally here in this physical flesh, and the flesh in agreement without hindrance. That we would know and be living and breathing his word, not from our own works, but in his strength. It will be from his spirit and grace in our soul, in our flesh. Every second we will know it is his grace, and we will rest beyond understanding because we are in him and him in us, no matter what's going on around us. You say, that's what Jesus experienced. That's right. And he is going to live in us manifestly, you see. Our soul will be fully content with this, and nothing can stop it, and the flesh will submit. That we will know Jesus' authority in us over the enemy, and the enemy will flee with one word or thought, because it's just Jesus in us. No more struggling with the flesh, but just being in him. That we can constantly, freely praise and worship him every moment with no temptation to complain, murmur, or doubt. That our soul is completely free to praise as the Holy Spirit does, and free to worship God with our body physically, being submitted to doing all God wants. And all of this while on earth and in this physical body, alive in Christ. I saw that the brethren will be in complete unity because of Jesus in them, and the enemy won't be able to get in the way of this oneness in Christ. No jealousy, no pride, no rejection, no battles of the flesh, but pure holy love one to another, loving each other, even as love, we love ourselves, and serving each other as Christ serves. And we will be one with no separation, no superiority, equal together in Christ. All different members, but all one body, working together in unity, like the human body. So connected, it's as if we are reading each other's mind, and in agreement in our minds and souls and spirit, and the flesh is submitted. That everything flows perfectly because we all are constantly connected and in tune with God and in tune with each other. That our faith is complete with God, that we have not even a tiny doubt, and we know that what we ask, we immediately receive because it's Christ in us. You know, see, people say, well, how come we don't see immediate manifestations like Jesus did? It's coming. Because he is coming in his people before he comes for his people. And that first fruits of that will be the man-child ministry. So that what we command and speak into the physical is immediately manifested, because Jesus in us is communing with Father every second. The enemy doesn't even try his normal tactics of unclean thoughts and feelings, because he knows we won't even accept or look at it. I knew that we will see and experience things we can't even imagine right now, but it is all for God's glory, and it will be only Jesus in us. We can't do anything to make this happen, but have faith in His grace to do it through us for His glory. Everything is for Him, and now and forever. My husband prayed about this and heard, "You are now in a new level of training. This is an exercise of the tests and application of my word. Speak and hold to the miracles I have promised. Many are showing others who are younger in their walk to do this when in doubt or with little experience. See how one who prays and praises in faith can move a miracle. Then others will try in their belief, and suddenly the power will multiply, and through many more people." It's a geometric progression. It's just going to spread, right? "It will spread and go beyond even the first person who prayed leading by example. And the effects go to areas and new heights where no one had even thought. It will go beyond the imagination or thoughts of impossibility. You all are my vessel. I will flow through you all as a holy army." Thank you so much, Father, that you have blessed us with this understanding. We ask, Lord, that the people will go back and study these verses, meditate on them, get them in their heart, and believe and understand what is being stated there. The exceptions that the religion throws in front of us just don't hold water when you put them up to the light of God's word. Thank you, Father, for doing that. In the name of Jesus, amen.